Hear now this reading from the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. A class of third graders was asked to write brief letters to God. I love this sort of thing. What would they say? How would they know what to say? They could ask questions, etc., but they came up with some doozies. Little Raphael established some boundaries early on. Dear God, if you give me a genie lamp like Aladdin, I will give you anything you want except my money and my chess set. Just making that clear. Johnny wrote, Dear God, how come you didn't invent any new animals lately? We still just have the old ones. Little Joyce clarified things. Dear God, thank you for the baby brother, but what I prayed for was a puppy. Norma was curious. Dear God, did you mean for the giraffe to look like that, or was it an accident? And Donnie wondered, Dear God, is Reverend Kevo a friend of yours, or do you just know him through business? Ever wanting to be on the straight and narrow, finally Neil asked, Dear God, I went to this wedding, and they kissed right in church. Is that okay? Their honesty and simplicity are refreshing. I think we lose some of that along the way, don't we? That fresh approach to the Lord, being straightforward, honest, authentic, transparent even. We grow up, we get fancy, or highfalutin, as it's called in some places. Not sure what the opposite of that is, maybe lowfalutin. In Mark 10:15, Jesus says to his disciples, Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. Christ's statement is brought about as a response to their annoyance at the mob of children wanting to see him. The disciples attempted to keep the children away, but Jesus was insistent that they be allowed to come. We aren't told in this story just how many children there were or how long it took before Jesus could interact with each of them, but we can easily imagine the buzz of excitement from these little ones. Is that Jesus, Daddy? Is he the one you told me about? Quite an exciting day for them, attempting to understand everything that was going on. Then when it was their turn, he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. I can just imagine their sweet questions. Is it true you can heal people? Can we actually know God? Can you tell him a secret for me? Or maybe they had statements similar to those of the third graders we read. Children are not as easily embarrassed as their parents are. They're full of wonder and adoration and trust, and often they aren't shy about showing it. But as life ticks by, stressors mount, the disappointments stack up, and we tend to pull back and build walls and wonder if God is as trustworthy as we had thought. Our tendency as adults is to rely mostly on ourselves, our education, talents, abilities, and of course, our impeccable time management skills. But God does not say to be self-reliant. His hope for each of us is that we would draw so near to Christ that we would say that it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. There's nothing self-reliant about that. Just as a child depends on their parents for everything, God desires that we depend on Him for all things. And we have no reason not to trust our Father in heaven. His track record is perfect. The psalmist states, God's way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. Yet we might struggle to trust the Lord with all of our heart because that would mean giving up control. What if God doesn't do what I want? Just as children trust the word of their parents, so does God desire that we trust Him. The Lord is for us, not against us. A child of God has nothing to fear. God wants us to have childlike trust. I can remember teaching our daughter Michelle how to ride a bicycle. Oh, that was so much fun, but it was a lot of work. I think I did better at that than I did teaching her sister Jennifer how to drive. Woo! Many, many wrecks. Absolutely totaled vehicles, but she always came out without a scratch. Praise God. She once totaled 2 cars in 1 month. Oof. I asked my insurance agent, how much is that gonna cost to insure her now? He just said, John, you don't wanna know. She had to go 3 years before getting her license back. So I was teaching Michelle how to ride the bike and truly sharing the joy I had known since I was a kid. She got on and started pedaling, and I took hold of the back of the seat and started running, keeping her upright and giving her encouragement. There we were, going for it with everything we had. Pretty soon she could feel the breeze blowing across her face. I'm riding, she shouted with such joy. She was at a 45-degree angle to the ground, and my wrist was about to break, but it was worth it to see that incredible sense of accomplishment on her face. Such glee and a sense of trust. Absolutely amazing. As we examine this passage from Proverbs 3 and elsewhere in Scripture, I think 3 things begin to come to the surface. We can trust God's person, we can trust God's purpose, and we can trust God's plan. First, we can trust God's person. God loves us more than we could ever know or understand. God's nature and the Lord's very being are purity, light, and love. We can, as a child asleep in the arms of a loving parent, echo that hymn that says, there is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. Place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God. Hold us who wait before thee, near to the heart of God. God is light. 1 John 1:5. This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. We can approach boldly the throne of grace with confidence, unafraid of what lurks in the shadows, because with God, everything is laid out in the open. Oh, we may have questions like these children, and we may have occasional doubts, but the doubts are really centered more in ourselves than in God. We wonder, am I worthy? Is God mad at me for what I've done or haven't done? Can I be forgiven? But in reality, it's not about us at all. It's all about him. It's about God's love, God's goodness, God's acceptance of us. Remember, our righteousness is as filthy rags. We cannot earn our way to heaven. There's nothing we could ever do to merit God's favor. It's a remarkable thing in terms of human equations. Mind-blowing, undeserved, bought and paid for by the shed blood of Jesus. When Jesus cried, "It is finished," from the cross, he meant it. No more system of sacrificial lambs being slaughtered to atone for sin. Jesus is that lamb. When they cried, "Behold, the Lamb of God," all the way back in Isaiah's prophecy, "And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Truly it is he who takes away the sins of the world. Thanks be to God. Secondly, we can trust God's purpose. We can look around this beautiful sanctuary today, look at the bright, smiling faces of those around us, and be reminded by English author C.S. Lewis. The church exists for nothing else but to draw us into Christ, to make us little Christs. This is part of the discipleship of which we speak so often around here. He continued, if they are not doing that, all the cathedrals, clergy, missions, sermons, even the Bible itself are simply a waste of time. Whew. God became man for no other purpose. It is even doubtful, you know, whether the whole universe was created for any other purpose. Finally, we read of God's plan. We see the signs at ball games, right? John 3:16, a great reminder for those who know that verse, and perhaps a big question mark for those who don't. 3:16, is that a.m. or p.m.? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I like to quickly add that next verse, which adds God's purpose in all that. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's God's plan. That's why Jesus came, to seek and to save that which was lost. We were helpless. We had fallen on our faces. But here is where we find God's strength that is made perfect in our weakness. As English preacher Charles Spurgeon said, we pray best when we are fallen on our faces in painful helplessness. It's really a recognition of our humility before God's greatness. Like a short story by Leo Tolstoy. In a certain part of old Russia, there was a lake, and it became famous because of three saints. The whole country became interested. Thousands of people were going to the lake to see these three saints. Some call them pilgrims, others hermits, but by whatever name, there they were. The archpriest of the country became afraid. What is happening? He had not heard of these saints, and they had not been certified by the church. Who has made them saints? This Christianity has been doing one of the most foolish things. They give certificates. This man is a saint, as if you can make a saint out of a man by certifying him. But the people were mad, and much news was coming that miracles were happening. So the priest had to go and see what the matter was. He went in a boat to the island where these three poor people lived. They were simply poor people, but very happy, because there's only one poverty, and that poverty is a heart which cannot love. They were poor, but they were rich, the richest you could ever find. They were happy, sitting under a tree, laughing, enjoying, delighting. Seeing the priest, they bowed down, and the priest said, "What are you doing here? There are rumors that you are great saints. Do you know how to pray?" Because seeing these three persons, the priest could immediately sense that they were completely uneducated, a little idiotic, happy but foolish. So they looked at each other and they said, "Sorry, sir, we don't know the right prayer authorized by the church because we are ignorant. We have created one prayer of our own. It is homemade. If you won't feel offended, we can show it to you." So the priest said, "Yes, show it to me. What prayer are you doing?" So they said, "We tried and thought, but we are not great thinkers. We are foolish people, ignorant villagers. Then we decided upon a simple prayer. In Christianity, God is thought of as a Trinity, three: God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And we are also three. So we decided on a prayer. You are three. We are three. Have mercy upon us. This is our prayer. We are three. You are also three. Have mercy upon us." The priest was very, very angry, almost enraged. He said, "What nonsense! We have never heard any prayer like this. Stop it! This way you cannot be saints. You're simply stupid." They fell at his feet and they said, "You teach us the real, the authentic prayer." So he told them the authorized version of the prayer of the Russian church. It was long and complicated, big words, bombastic. Those three persons looked at each other. It seemed impossible. The door of heaven was closed for them. They said, "You please tell us once more, because it is long and we are uneducated." He said it again. They said, "Once more, sir, because we will forget and something will go wrong." So again he told it. They thanked him heartily, and he felt very good that he had done a good deed, brought these foolish people back to the church. He sailed off in his boat, but just in the middle of the lake, he could not believe his eyes. Those three persons, those foolish people, were coming, running on the water. They said, "Wait! Once more, we have forgotten." Now this was impossible to believe. The priest fell at their feet and he said, "Forgive me. You continue your prayer." In Scripture, we are called to maturity. In fact, the writer of Hebrews reprimands believers for not growing up in their faith. The goal isn't to think like a child, but to trust like a child. No matter where God leads, what happens, or how disappointed we might feel, believing every day that God's word is still true. Receiving the kingdom of God like a child is not only about adoration, excitement, dependency, and trust. It's also about humility. In the Gospel of Mark, the Lord's admonishment to be childlike comes in the middle of a more extensive teaching on what it means to be great in God's kingdom. The disciples had been arguing about who among them was the greatest. Knowing this, Jesus calls them over and says, if anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all. Then to illustrate, Jesus takes a child in his arms. Children were considered some of the lowest members of society. His point, if greatness in God's kingdom is really what you're after, then you need to put yourself at the back of the line. Humble yourself like Jesus did when, as it says in Philippians 2, he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant. Receiving God's kingdom is about putting it first. Thy kingdom come is what Jesus urges us to pray. It's not our agenda above God's. It's God's agenda before anything else. It's less of us and more of him. The problem is we don't generally seek to be smaller and less important. We like being wanted, desired, and if at all possible, a little higher up on the world's ladder. Jesus' words were revolutionary for the disciples. And if we're honest, it's still revolutionary thinking today. Receiving the kingdom of God like a child, it's not a one-time event. It's a daily choice. Will we choose today to rejoice over the good gifts our Father continues to give? Or will we be just ho-hum about this amazing God who loves us? Will we depend on him like a child? Will we hang on his every word? Will we trust him? Will we humble ourselves like Jesus did? Just as children open gifts with relentless anticipation, we should want to be that excited when we open our Bibles. Let's be eager and awestruck children of God. Let's be full of trust and surrender, highly anticipating what our Savior will say. Let's be humble enough to receive it each day, trusting God's person, God's purpose, and God's plan. Amen. Let us pray. Oh God, in all humility, in a childlike trust, and a faith that endures in your love poured out, your grace bestowed upon us, every blessing that is ours. We praise you, we thank you, and we declare to one and all, we trust you. Simple trust like that of a child. Lord, we believe. Help thou our unbelief. We praise you and pray believing in Jesus' wonderful name. Together we say, Amen. Go forth trusting every day. Simple trust like that of a child. The Father is worthy of our worship, our praise, our belief, trusting in Him always. Go forth in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.